Welcome to Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Charlie Romeliotis here in our downtown Chicago studios, back for another edition of Blackhawks Live to kick off 2026. And as always, Jack Heinrich is riding shotgun with me, although he wasn't with us last week. It was Eli Burke sitting to Jack's right now that filled in.
Thank you,
Eli, for pinch hitting. Jack, how are you feeling? Whatever you had, I have now, I think.
Yeah, we hang out too much.
Yeah, I'm a little nasally today. You're recovering. So we joked around right before this. First one to cough on the air loses. So fans, keep us posted who ends up winning that one. But good to have you back, Jack.
It's good to be back. This beats being locked in my parents' recliner like I was last Monday.
And it's great to be back because you came back to a Blackhawks winning team undefeated in the year 2026. The Hawks are 3-0 since the calendar flipped to 2026, and they are now 4-1-1 since the holiday break. The Blackhawks had lost 6 straight games prior to the holiday break, all of those games in regulation. And it felt like during that 6-game losing streak, the Hawks were kind of emotionally trying to navigate the losses of Connor Bedard and Frank Nazar. And I think the holiday break came at such a perfect time for the Blackhawks where they can just reset mentally and physically, but more so mentally, and come out of the break with a fresh attitude of, okay, how do we move forward for the next couple weeks without our two best players? And boy, have the Blackhawks responded in a big way. 2 wins against the Dallas Stars in a 5-day stretch, a big win in a shootout on the road against the Washington Capitals, who are one of the better teams in the Eastern Conference. I think they're the second ranked 5-on-5 goal differential team in the entire NHL. And then the Hawks end up finally, Jack, winning the second of a back-to-back after they were 0-4-0 in the previous 4 instances, being outscored 27-7 in those previous 4 games. Hawks finally get one against the Vegas Golden Knights last night, and the Hawks only gave up 15 shots on goal in the game, and it was a game that went into overtime, so it wasn't just a regulation game. So, man, Hawks are cooking since the holiday break after losing 6 in a row.
Yeah, I guess they took them a little bit to figure out how to play without those two. But they're winning those low-scoring games like we talked about, and now they're just going to overtime every game, at least getting a point, it seems like. And then you never know how it goes in overtime. But it is good to see that they're still hanging around. And I was talking with John Hansen on Friday about how the Hawks were only 4 points out of a playoff spot. Now they're only 2 points out of a playoff spot, even after they just lost 6 in a row. So it's really wide open this year.
I was just joking around with John Hansen in our crosstalk, saying that last week, or maybe it might have been the week before, I'm not sure, for the first time, I had fired up Tankathon, because that's the website that you go to when you want to see the lottery odds, and you see, all right, where are the mock projections, and you can just auto sim like the lottery odds at each percentage. That was the first time I went on that website. And then after last night's victory, I'm like, wait a second, forget Tankathon. We got to go to the playoff standings again, because the Blackhawks are right back into it, 2 points behind the final wild card spot in the Western Conference. Now, I will add, there is a very murky middle in between, so the Hawks have 5 teams to jump.
It was like 7 the other day.
Yeah, so there still is a challenge. But if you're the Blackhawks, maybe the worst of it could be behind you. If the Hawks lost 6 straight, they're now on a 4-1-1 record, and there's potential hope for Connor Bedard to be returning somewhat soon. We know that he is expected to return prior to the Olympic break. And so maybe there's this little newfound momentum with the Blackhawks, knowing that they're going to get their star player back soon. We'll see about Frank Nazar. He still hasn't hit the ice after leaving the lineup on December 20th with broken jaw, orbital bone, whatever injury that is. And so, yeah, it's been fun to watch. Now, I will say this. During the 6-game losing streak, I remember Jeff Blashill kept saying that he didn't feel like the record was indicative of how the Hawks were playing. And I agree with him to some extent, because if you look at, I think it might be all 6 of those losses, the Hawks either, and maybe actually 5 of the 6, the Hawks either were leading or tied going into the third period, and they end up losing every single one of those games in regulation. Now, that's rare. Like, usually that happens. You go into the third period tied or leading. You're expected to get like at least a point in some of those games, like even just luck into a point where you just nothing happens in the final 20 minutes. But the Hawks end up, it goes sideways for them in every single third period and they lose all of those games in regulation. And I thought it was interesting, Jack, that after the Pittsburgh Penguins game, it was the Sunday, second of a back-to-back, where the Hawks lost 7-3. Jeff Blashill steps to the podium in his post-game press conference, and he says, I really believe in this group. And it wasn't one of those, it would have been easy for Jeff to say, it was another loss in the second of a back-to-back, I'm disappointed with the effort, and kind of pile things on when the team felt down. But he actually took a complete opposite approach, and I think he resonated with a team that maybe was feeling a little bit emotionally down on themselves after losing Connor Bedard and losing Frank Nazar. They had lost six in a row going into the holiday break. They come off a big shootout win in Dallas, and then they follow that up with a loss. I thought it was really interesting that Jeff Blashill ended up taking the positive reinforcement route to his guys and say, I believe in this group. We're going to bust out of it. And I think the Hawks took that to heart, because since that Pittsburgh game, the Hawks are 3-0-1. And I think if Jeff piles on there and says, we need to be better, yada, yada, like maybe the team starts to feel a little bit even more down on themselves. And so Jeff Blashill feels like he is pressed all the right buttons this year, and that's just yet another example of him doing so in that Pittsburgh game.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. It seems like he's been orchestrated behind the scenes exactly what they needed, and he's been very, I mean, they always ask him if this season's like exceeded his expectations, and he's like, I didn't have any, you know, it's a new group and they're really young and we're trying to build something. But I mean, I think they've exceeded expectations, and it seems like he's hit the right notes every time he's needed to, and they've really faced some adversity the last few months. It's been a tough schedule, and you lose your two of your best players, and they hit a little skid, but now they bounce back, and Arvid had a little bit of a rough spell, and now he's playing a little bit better too. And Jeff talked about that yesterday too in his post game, that he kind of had to wear a few of those bad losses because he left them in there and they needed Spencer Knight to rest or whatever, and he was happy for him to have a good night. So hopefully, I mean, they can keep it rolling. They got a little bit of a break here, like, what, two days off in a row, which is very rare. So yeah, Hopefully they can rest up, because they're playing a lot at home, and I think the bunch really crunched now because the Olympic break's like, what, 3-4 weeks away?
Yeah. You mentioned Arvid Soderblom. He has back-to-back wins now in his starts, and another reason why I've really liked what Jeff Blashill has said this season is, after the game last night, I know you were there sitting in the front row listening to Jeff, but he commended Arvid for the way that he's bounced back from his stretch where he went like 5 weeks between wins, because as a backup goaltender, you're really only playing like once a week. And so he went 4 or 5 straight starts without picking up a single win. And it started like his first 6 starts of the year, Jack, he was 3-2-1, and he had like a really respectable save percentage. It started to turn after that 9-3 loss in Buffalo. And Jeff Blashill said yesterday he commended Arvid for bouncing back from the adversity, because that Buffalo game, Arvid Soderblom was in net and he gave up all 9 goals to the Sabres. And this wasn't by design. Like, Jeff Blashill he didn't want Arvid Soderblom to necessarily wear that game, but the Hawks were coming off the first of a back-to-back where they played at the United Center against Seattle. They lose that game, and the game got away from them so quickly that Jeff didn't want to put in Spencer Knight in the second of a back-to-back as well, coming in cold, having no morning skate, and it was kind of like Arvid just kind of has to eat the rest of this game. Not because Jeff was trying to be mean and trying to send a message, but he's like, I don't want to overly tax Spencer Knight. And so I appreciated that Blashill said maybe it took a little bit for Arvid to regain his confidence after that game, even though it wasn't intentional for him to be in there for all 9 goals. And so great to see Arvid bounce back in the way that he has. And then last thing I will say, just as far as the the contributions that the Blackhawks have been getting. How about the contributions from the veterans that they've been getting lately, especially without Connor Bedard and Frank Nazar? It's Tyler Bertuzzi who has 8 points in his last six games after going six straight without a single point, which I believe has something to do with no Connor Bedard in the lineup. So even Tyler Bertuzzi was trying to figure out a way, okay, how do I get my touches and how do I get my greasy goals when I don't have my guy feeding me pucks in Connor Bedard? So that was maybe an adjustment. He has certainly turned the corner again. Six goals in those last six games as well. You have Teuvo Teravainen on a three-game goal streak prior to last night where he got held off the goal column. But previously, he went 13 straight without a single goal. Then he has a goal in three straight. Burakovsky and Ryan Green have been, Burakovsky and Ryan Donato have been really good. Even Ryan Green, I'll throw on there. He's been really good on that top line. But it's a lot of the veterans that have been contributing to the Blackhawks trying to tread water without their two most important players. And I think that's going to need to continue for the next couple weeks as the young players like a Nick Lardis and an Oliver Moore, as they try to find their games and they try to navigate their way in the NHL. But it's just great to see a lot of the veterans that have been stepping up lately.
That's what we talked about too when Bedard and Nazar went down, is like, you're probably going to need these guys to play up a little bit. And then they've done it recently here during this winning streak. I mean, Bertuzzi's been great too this year. I mean, he goes on these heaters. We saw it a little bit last year. We scored a bunch, but then he's had like a bunch of games, like 15 games in between. He talked about that yesterday, but I don't know what Jeff Blashill and his relationship or coaching is like, but whenever those two are together, Bertuzzi's just on another level. So that's another thing Blashill's brought, but he's looked great. I mean, finished off the hat trick, and he got to talk to the media yesterday and had a big smile on his face. So that's good to see too. One of the bigger free agents they brought in stepping up with the two guys out right now.
Yeah. So Tyler Bertuzzi, he's now a 6-time 20 goal scorer. His previous career high, or his current career high, is 31 goals, and it came in Detroit when Jeff Blashill was his head coach, because there clearly is a trust factor between the player and the coach. So that's great to see. And then last thing, power play. It was 1-for-18 in the first seven games without Connor Bedard. But in the next three games, the Hawks were 4-for-7. So they had four power play goals in three games. They didn't get on the power play last night against Vegas. But that's certainly an area where the Hawks are starting to turn a corner. And certainly they're going to need to without Connor Bedard and without Frank Nazar. Especially just you want it to trickle into the 5-on-5 game. If the Hawks are going to struggle scoring goals without Bedard and Nazar, you want the power play to be clicking. And they weren't doing that in the first seven games, but now they are in their last four. All right, let's get to an injury report. New sponsor, by the way, that we introduced in the last Blackhawks Live. The injury report is sponsored by Illinois Bone and Joint Institute. Injured after hours, they've got you covered with access to their clinical team beyond regular clinical hours. Learn more at IBJI.com. How about Connor Bedard and Frank Nazar? We get to some updates. We did ask Jeff Blashill about it yesterday in his pregame media availability. Connor Bedard has been out since December 12th. However, there was video of him ripping some pucks on, I think it was Friday, as the Blackhawks had an off day as they traveled to Washington. And Hawks ended up canceling practice after the big win against the Dallas Stars. And Connor Bedard was seen on the ice. Now, last Monday, we saw Connor Bedard on the ice for the first time, but he was not using that right shoulder. He was just stick handling, doing some work. But on Friday, we saw him, he was firing pucks, and it didn't look like he was holding much back, which tells me I don't think he's very far away from eventually being cleared to practice. I think this is going to be an interesting week because the Hawks practice tomorrow. Then they have a game on Wednesday night. They're scheduled to practice on Thursday, but we'll see, because then it leads into another back to back with a Friday, Saturday game. So maybe Thursday's practice will depend on the result of Wednesday's game, but I wouldn't be surprised if maybe by the end of the week might be really aggressive, but maybe by next week, I would say, is a more conservative time frame of Bedard potentially returning to practice, which would be obviously a huge boost. Unfortunately, on the other end, Frank Nazar, he was originally put on a 4-week timetable out since December 20th. It doesn't look like he's going to hit that 4-week timetable. I think it's going to be closer to maybe 6 weeks because Jeff Blashill seemed non-committal to Nazar potentially returning before the Olympic break. So it might be, he might take it all the way to the Olympic break before we kind of get a real feel for when Nazar is going to return to the lineup. But as long as the Hawks are getting one of them back in the near future, I think that's an encouraging sign. And Jack, it's been nice to see Bedard kind of graduate from not using his right shoulder at all to skating on it and skating on his own to, oh, he was really firing the puck on Friday, which was just 5 days after we saw him without using that right shoulder.
Yeah, that's what you want to see, right? We said like the January 1st was when they're going to reevaluate. And if he's on the ice firing the puck like that, that's definitely good news. And hopefully he can come back, and the Hawks are still hanging around the playoff race, I guess. And he didn't make Team Canada, so maybe he's got that little chip on his shoulder. And,
oh, we will get to that.
Yeah, I'm sure we will. And then he'll be able to, I mean, he's missed like a month and he hates missing time. So, I mean, he's going to come back ready to go, and he's having a really good season, and hopefully that shoulder isn't going to deter him at all and he feels like himself, because this was really the year three breakout that everyone was hoping for.
Yeah, and if you remember the rookie year when he broke his jaw, he was originally put on a 6 to 8 week timetable, but he returned 5.5 Yes. weeks.
Yeah.
And I don't believe he had a single practice with the Blackhawks because Sidney Crosby and the Penguins were in town. And I think the Hawks really wanted to make sure that he got into full practice or whatever. And I can't remember the case. I forgot to look this up right before we hopped on, so I'm going to do this in real time really quick. Yeah, the Hawks ended up, they were on like a lengthy, it was like a 5-game homestand. And the Hawks played the Penguins. It was February 15th. And I don't think the Hawks had a morning skate that day, if I'm remembering correctly. And so Connor got put through like a rigorous, I think it was like Luke Richardson and some of the coaching staff members like put him through like a rigorous test because he wanted desperately to return for the Sidney Crosby, just facing his childhood idol. And he ended up returning in that game. So I wouldn't be surprised if whenever Connor gets cleared to practice again, I wouldn't be surprised if Connor kind of tries to push the envelope. Although I will say, broken jaw is different from, you know, separated shoulder, where you got to make sure that you're not re-aggravating an injury that isn't a bone break. It's more like muscle issue or whatever the case is. And so I think the Hawks are definitely going to want to be cautious, but I know Bedard, like once he's cleared to play and he's like, he's ready to go again. Like I wouldn't be surprised if he tries to push that envelope and say, oh no, I'll be ready tomorrow.
Yeah. That sounds like him. Cause I remember when he had that broken jaw, they had to force him to not be on the ice cause he wanted to be out there. It's gotta be eating at him. Anyway, I saw him walking out of the locker room yesterday and he looked like he was moving pretty good and he had a big smile on his face. So take that for what you will, but it seems like he's trending in the right direction, and hopefully it heals and it's not something like you have to go back in the offseason and get a surgery and then that messes up his whole thing. But hopefully the rehab works and then he's back out on the ice just like he was playing like he was before the injury.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting too that the Hawks said they're going to reevaluate him after the new year, but then a few days prior to the new year, he ends up hitting the ice. And I don't know if that was a coincidence because Team Canada was scheduled to name their Olympic roster on New Year's Eve afternoon. Maybe saying, hey, don't forget about me. Like I'm going to be ready. And so we will get to that conversation though. On the other side of the break, we'll talk about Team Canada leaving Connor Bedard off its initial Olympic roster. So we do got more to get to here on Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Our Connor Bedard conversation that is coming up next on 720 WGN. Back here on Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Charlie Meliotis and Jack Heinrich here with you on this Monday night. And Jack, I just got a text from the great John Hansen, who pulled some numbers for us.
Excellent.
How about this? We got a deep research department here at WGN Radio. And the Hawks have played 42 games so far this season. So prior to the Vegas one, that was the official halfway mark of the season. Through 42 games last year, the Blackhawks had 30 points. This year through 42 games, Hawks have 41 points. The year, 2 years prior, they had 26 points. So it was a 4-point improvement from 2 years ago to the year after that. And then from last year to this year, Hawks have had an 11-point improvement, which means Hawks are on pace for a 22-ish point improvement, which I don't think many people realize how significant of a jump that is in the NHL. I mean, and you think about it, the Hawks have been without Connor Bedard for 11 of those games. Like, think about if they had him for a couple of those losses in the six regulation losses. Like, maybe we're talking about a different story. And so it kind of puts things into perspective of, even though the Hawks find themselves on the outside of the playoff berth, and maybe riding the ups and downs of the Hawks being playoff team, and then back to near the bottom of the league in the standings, and then back to playing themselves in the conversation of the playoffs, it does kind of put things into perspective. Through 42 games, the Hawks have been have had a significant improvement since where they were last year. All right, let's get to the big storyline that we were talking about last week. Connor Bedard left off of Team Canada's initial 25-man roster for the Olympics. And Team Canada general manager Doug Armstrong held a press conference, and he was asked specifically about leaving off Connor Bedard, whether his injury played a role into whether or not he was excluded from the roster. And he said it did not. It sounded like they had already made their minds up that Connor Bedard was not going to be on the roster, even if he was healthy. And I was a little surprised by that, because I get it if Doug Armstrong came out and said there's too much risk there with the injury factor, and if Bedard does return from his injury, we don't know what version we would be getting, because they is it going to be an injury that's lingering and he's just not going to totally look 100%, or is it going to be something like there would be too much unknown there, right? But he says it wasn't a factor, which makes me think if Connor was healthy, he would have been left off the roster. And man, that's tough, man. Like, I just disagree with that decision respectfully, because I obviously know what they're trying to do. The way that they crafted their Four Nations roster, they pretty much rolled out the same roster, like same back end, essentially the same forward group outside of one or two tweaks. And so they wanted to keep the identity the same. And maybe if you include a guy like Connor Bedard and Macklin Celebrini, you're changing up too much of the top nine of the continuity. But boy, oh boy, like, Jack, when I watched that Four Nations tournament, it was USA Canada in the gold medal game, went to overtime. Austin Matthews had like three grade A scoring chances.
Oh, yeah.
And Jordan Binnington completely robbed Austin Matthews on all three of those chances. If one of those pucks goes in, let's just say hypothetically, the same scenario plays out in the Olympics, where it's Canada, USA, it's in overtime, and Canada's looking for one extra goal, and they got Connor Bedard sitting at home. Like, I don't know how you justify that if you're Team Canada. Yeah. Like, well, you know, good thing they, you know, included the 13th or 14th forward that's a solid penalty killer over the guy that could literally score a goal to win your tournament.
Yeah, that's a good point. I was surprised when I saw that too, because he was what, top five in scoring when he got hurt, and he's averaging over a point a game. And I mean, he's right up there with Celebrini and McDavid and all them when he got hurt. And if you just came out and said the injury was the reason, I think everyone would be like, okay, like that timing sucks, but you know, it makes sense. You're so much unknown, like you said, but for him to just say no, like he wasn't going to be on it, you're kind of just scratching your head, because he was doing everything you'd want him to do, especially with that, like you said, the offensive firepower. Like if you need him to be that spark, you talked about it before the rosters came out, and he's like the 13th forward, but then you just throw him on the top line if you need a spot or an offensive spark, like he's the perfect player. And it's just unfortunate that didn't happen. Now, you never know with the injuries and whatnot. I think a few guys have gotten hurt, and we don't know the severity of them, but hopefully he can come back and prove that, hey, this guy should have been on the team.
Yeah, and I mean, I think defensively is where Connor Bedard, I guess it's like, oh, well, it's a tight tournament, there's not going to be a lot of vice, and I think that's where, you know, maybe some of the critics will come out and say, like, God, can he handle this tournament? But I'm like, boy, he did pretty good when he was at World Juniors, and he had 23 points in seven games, and he kind of just completely took the tournament over as a 17-year-old playing against players that are 2 or 3 years older than them, and he was just far and away the better player. And so I just thought it was like, I'm not honestly, like, I'm not surprised that they went this direction, because it felt like this is where Team Canada was headed. And but it was just like, the longer the season went on, the more I'm like, well, how do you leave this guy off? Because he's a totally different player than he was in his first 2 years. And so I just thought that was really interesting. The other thing I did find interesting and admirable was Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill and his coming to the defense of his player in Connor Bedard and having a very passionate response, not necessarily to Connor being left off the roster, but coming to the defense of Connor Bedard and the player that he has become. Here is Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill on Connor Bedard.
I talked to him for a while yesterday. You know, first off, I have a ton of respect for how hard these decisions are, and whether, honestly, Canada, the U.S., Sweden, like, you have a lot of really good players that you're going to ultimately leave off these teams. The one thing I would say is I don't think the rest of the league knows how good of a two-way winning hockey player Connor has become. And that's the one thing probably, and I don't know why, you know, maybe it's based on previous years, but I don't think they have a full understanding of how good a winning hockey player he is today, as we sit here today. You know, I've read some things about defensive metrics and things like that. I would tell you, I have studied those things tons. I've never seen a defensive metrics that I trust to say to me whether or not a guy's a good defensive player. I don't think they judge what they're supposed to judge yet. I don't think we're there yet. We're all working to try to get there. We're not there. The metric that I trust is your impact on winning. And the reason why I know he's a big-time winning hockey player, when he was in our lineup, we were 1 point out of the wild card. And since then, we're 1-6-1. That's the impact he's had. That's the type of two-way player. You don't have that impact if you're just a point getter. You only have that impact if you're a true two-way kind of winning player. And that's what he's become.
I mean, what a quote there by Jeff Blashill. Not just a quote, just what a response. That was essentially an 80-second response on just going to bat for his young superstar. And again, I do want to clarify that Blashill was not talking about Team Canada's decision to leave him off the roster, because Jeff has a lot of respect for John Cooper, who he was the assistant for 3 years in Tampa Bay. And I know they talk frequently. And so this wasn't a complete oversight by Team Canada. It's like, oh, how could they not? I think Jeff was essentially addressing the casual conversation in the NHL that Connor Bedard is just an offensive playmaker and a shooter. Like, he just doesn't play defense. And that's just, it's just totally wrong, because the Connor Bedard that I've seen this year is such a different player. And even in the first 2 years, like, while no one was going to mistake him for a Selke Trophy player, like, he's a guy that I've seen dive in front of pucks, like, in the preseason. So, like, he isn't afraid to, like, do whatever it takes in the defensive end, but his game has matured so much literally this year. So however, since last year, and it's just been a different story. And the one thing I do want to point out, the Hawks played the Colorado Avalanche in November. It was a 1-0 loss for the Blackhawks. So only one goal was scored. The high-powered Colorado Avalanche, who are right now having a historically great regular season in the NHL history, like, not just of recent memory, but in NHL history, the season that they're having. And Nathan MacKinnon has been on such another level that in that game in November, Blackhawks Avalanche, Hawks were the home team, and they had the opportunity to kind of dictate the matchups, because as when you're the road team, you have to throw your players onto the ice first for faceoffs and for line changes that come during whistles. And the Hawks are able to counter as the home team. Well, the Blackhawks decided they were going to pair up Connor Bedard's line against Nathan MacKinnon's. That includes Marty Natchez, who is one of the best players in the NHL, and Arturi Lehkonen, who is one of the best complementary players in the NHL. And oh, by the way, in that time, Cale Makar and Devon Toews, easily the best duo, defenseman duo in the NHL. They were also on the ice for a majority of the time when McKinnon's line was on the ice. And so Connor, these are the stats that I tweeted after that game. Connor Bedard was on the ice for 12 minutes and 40 seconds of McKinnon's 20 minutes and 36 seconds of even strength ice time. When McKinnon was on the ice against Bedard, shot attempts were 18 to 15 Chicago, shots on goal 8 to 4 Chicago, scoring chances 10 to 6 Chicago, high danger chances 4 to 0 in favor of Chicago. When McKinnon was not on the ice with Bedard, so when he was out there without number 98, shot attempts were 13 to 7 Colorado, shots on goal 5 to 2 Colorado, and then scoring chances and high danger chances were even at 5-5 and 3-3. And in those 20 minutes and 36 seconds of ice time that McKinnon was out there for, Cale Makar was on the ice with him for 16 minutes and 28 seconds. So essentially almost 80% of the time. So, I mean, if that tells you, like, Connor Bedard can handle situations like that. And let me remind you, Connor's line mates in that game were Ryan Green, rookie forward, who is playing wing. That was a month and a half into his NHL career. And Andrei Burakovsky, who at the time was still, we don't know him as the Andrei Burakovsky that he is right now, that we know, oh, okay, he's a consistent piece. Like prior to that, coming into the season, we knew that he was just kind of like a complimentary piece. But I mean, Connor Bedard was more than capable of handling that matchup. And then you stack on the fact that he's a really good playmaker, shooter, can take the game over at any moment. I just don't know, Jack, how you can leave off a player like that, knowing what level that he's playing at offensively, but also the defensive responsibilities that he has taken on this year, and he's handled them pretty seamlessly.
Yeah, he's taken improvement in every part of his game. I mean, he's realized he needs to be more of a two-way player, and like that was a great example when they played Colorado and he was matched up against the top line, because normally we see Jason Dickinson's line get the top line, but they put Bedard out there and he held his own. And I think it's one game, but I think that's a big step forward based on what we've seen. I mean, not a big plus minus guy, but he's been pretty far in the minus in his career. But this year he's way in the positive, and I think that shows the steps he's taken to improve his game.
Yeah. And I will say this too. There's still a lot of time between now and the start of the Olympics in a month. And so a lot can change, especially if you're Team Canada. And I was actually looking at some of the players, like Team Canada's roster. Three of the players have already gotten injured. Tom Wilson, it was in the Chicago game. Bo Horvat got hurt. I think that's not as serious. Devon Taves got hurt last night for the Colorado Avalanche, or 2 days ago for the Colorado Avalanche. That might be, I think there's some discomfort there on how long that could be. And so that's three injuries. Now, one of them's a defenseman, so it's not going to impact Connor Bedard. And obviously Tom Wilson, Bo Horvat's going to be fine. But Tom Wilson, we don't have any clarity on the severity of the injury. But if Tom Wilson, for whatever reason, this could knock him out of the playoff or out of the Olympic conversation, then they might just slide in Sam Bennett. And so it's not going to be one of their depth players ends up leaving the lineup. Oh, that's an opportunity for Connor Bedard. Like, I think Connor would get in if there's an injury to one of their offensive players. But boy, like, so a lot can still change between now and the start of the tournament. So it's not like, oh, Team Canada left off Bedard, that's it, he's not going to be there in Milan. Like, there's still an avenue for him to get there. And he will have to show, though, that he is the player that he was pre-injury, and that there isn't some sort of lingeringness from the injury that it's like he's like 80% version of himself. So Connor will certainly have to prove that, but I don't have any doubt that if Connor is feeling 100% back to himself physically and mentally, like he feels the confidence that his shoulder is good to go, I just think it would be a mistake if Team Canada didn't include him as one of their top injury replacements. So, we'll see how that shakes out. But, yeah, I love Jeff Blashill coming to the defense of his player, young superstar in Connor Bedard. I think that's going to go a long way in them building that trust factor with each other. And I thought it was interesting too. Like, I think one of the things I interviewed Jeff Blashill a few games ago, he said that he sat down over the summer and was breaking down Sidney Crosby film one-on-one, because they were like, all right, look at what Sid does. Let's try to take some notes and apply to your game. And I think Connor has done just that. So it's been fun to watch Connor's growth. And boy, oh boy, I think the social media reaction is going to be very, very interesting if Canada falls short of a gold medal in the Olympics, if they come up just one goal short. All right, we got one more break to get to, and then we're going to wrap up Blackhawks Live presented by Circa Sports Illinois next on 720 WGN. Back here on Blackhawks Live presented by Circa Sports Illinois, sports betting the way it should be. Charlie Romeliotis and Jack Heinrich putting a bow on this show on Monday night, and we got to end with what the Blackhawks prospects have been doing at the 2026 World Junior Championship. Three Blackhawks prospect have been represented from their respective countries. It was AJ Spellacy. He unfortunately got eliminated with Team USA in the quarterfinals. So their quest for a three-peat for Team USA unfortunately falls short. And then you have Blackhawks number 3 overall pick, Anton Frundell, and number 25 overall pick, Vaclav Nestrosil. Frundell representing Team Sweden, Nestrosil representing Czechia. And that game is currently going on as we record this for the gold medal. And boy, every time I open up Twitter, Jack, it feels like a Blackhawks prospect, either Frundell, Nestrosil, or AJ Spellacy, they were doing something in the tournament. And of course, last night, while the Blackhawks game was going on, Anton Frundell scores the shootout winner for Team Sweden to send Sweden to the gold medal game against Finland, and against Finland. And now Frundell has 8 points in 6 games in the tournament, 5 goals, 3 assists, +4 rating. He's been named player of the game twice. I mean, boy, oh boy, when you try to like look at the puzzle pieces long-term for the Blackhawks, you got Connor Bedard, you got Frank Nazar, you got Spencer Knight between the pipes. There's Artem Levchinov. There's Sam Rinzell. There's Wyatt Kaiser. There's Alex Vlasic. Oliver Moore and Nick Lardis are playing in the NHL. But then you think of Anton Frundell and what he could bring to this Blackhawks group. Not just his shot, but his two-way ability. It's been fun opening up Twitter and just watching, oh, here's another Frundell highlight. Like, he's been so good in this tournament. And I imagine it's getting Chicago fans very excited for the future.
Yeah, he's been a beast. And what did Kyle Davidson say when he drafted him was he plays playoff hockey, like that main hockey. And now you're seeing it on the big stage. And it's nice to see the scoring, too. And big body, like you said, and he plays that center position. So you never know if like maybe he's the top line guy or if he fits in the second line or where's that. But, I mean, they got a log jam of forwards coming. So that's an exciting thing. I mean, Kantaroff's been good. I feel like every prospect update you do as a forward.
Yeah, it's fun to see every time we kind of update the prospects. I mean, it's like an embarrassment of riches, right? It's like, oh, this guy's performing. Oh, Roman Kantarov has a hat trick. Oh, Anton Frundell, maybe one of the best forwards in the entire tournament. It's just been fun to watch. And then lastly, on Vaclav Nestrosil, he has 7 points, 2 goals, 5 assists, in 6 games in the tournament for Czechia, and he's adopting a new nickname, No Look Nestrosil, because he's been,
I love that.
He's had a lot of no look passes, and he's been setting up his teammates. And so even him, he's a 6'6" forward that has size and could be a potential player for the Blackhawks down the road. And so it's fun to watch these tournaments, and you hear about the numbers, right? Like, you hear, oh, Frundell scored 2 goals over in the Swedish Hockey League, or you see Nestrosil perform, and it's like, oh, that's great. But until you like tangibly see what that looks like, then you can kind of like visualize, oh, okay, Frundell has scored, 6 goals in this tournament, or I'm sorry, 5 goals in this tournament, and like 4 of them have been clappers from the right side of the face-off circle on the power play. And you're like, ooh, he's going to look really good in Chicago there. You know, and then my other thought was, oh, that's Connor Bedard's spot because he likes the right side of the power play. But, you know, you figure that out, right? But it's like, it's fun trying to pencil in the lineups and just seeing all these guys, especially in a tournament like this where the World Juniors is against some of the other, essentially your peers at that age between 17 and 20. I think it's encouraging to see a lot of the Blackhawks prospects. And last one too, AJ Spellacy. Like I know, Team USA got eliminated pretty early in the quarterfinals, but I thought he had a really noticeable tournament and had a shorthanded goal. Or I think he set up a shorthanded goal, just played a strong two-way game, and he was a heavy presence and certainly made his presence known. It felt like every game that I turned on for Team USA, he was bulldozing over, you know, the opposition. And so all three Blackhawks prospects that have participated in this tournament have been thriving. And, I think it just gets you a little bit even more excited than Blackhawks fans already are watching guys like Bedard and Nazar and Moore and Lardis and all the other, Blackhawks prospects that have graduated to the NHL this season. That's going to do it for Blackhawks Live presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Next show is going to be Tuesday, January 13th at 7 p.m. We'll see you then.